Galatians chapter 5, as we recount the fruit of the Spirit, today we are looking at gentleness. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, Paul says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. As we have gone through the series, we have sought to remind you that the fruit of the Spirit are in fact the character qualities of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Romans 8, 28 and 29, the Bible tells us that God works all things together for your good for the purpose of molding you into the image and likeness of His Son Jesus. Then over here in Galatians 5, the Apostle Paul tells us what the character qualities are of the Lord Jesus that the Father wants to build into our lives. The Bible does not talk about the fruits, plural, of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit. And the importance of that is, this is a cluster of 9 character traits that God wants to build into your heart, into my heart, into the heart of every Christian without exception. Nobody gets fewer than the full cluster of 9 character qualities of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you look at your life today, as others look at your life today, your schoolmates look at your life, as your family look at your life, as your business and work associates look at your life, as your fellow believers look at your life, are they noticing more of these character qualities today than they did 6-12 months ago? It's a good question, if we dare to ask it. So today we are looking at the fruit of the Spirit called gentleness. Now, William Barclay is a great, great Bible expositor from a previous generation. He ministered in Scotland. His commentaries are among the most popular commentaries among clergy and laity alike. When it comes to this fruit of gentleness, Barclay had a very interesting statement. He said this word, the word in the New Testament that we're translating, gentleness, some translations translate it meekness, he says this word is the most untranslatable of words. What does he mean by that? He is saying this word in the original language of the New Testament that we translate sometimes humble, sometimes meek, sometimes gentle, he said there's just not really a good an adequate English equivalent to this word in the language of the New Testament. And because we don't have an adequate English word, we have to try to throw various words at it depending upon the context in which this word shows up in the New Testament. Also, sometimes the word meek has such negative connotations to various cultures and various generations that we can sometimes miss the significance of this fruit of the Spirit because we have a negative bias against meekness or gentleness or humility. I'm going to put you on notice. I want my warriors to be gentle. I want police officers to be gentle. Those who wield life and death authority, I want these men and women to be gentle. And I think you'll understand that as we get through the study. Now, this word that is translated gentleness in Galatians 5 has several nuances to it. One could mean mild. One can mean humble. Another nuance is submissive. Another nuance may be tolerant and modest. And I dare say for many of you, you're not very much impressed or overwhelmed with mild, humble, submissive, tolerant, or modest. You're saying, wow, I'm not really sure why God put that in the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm not even sure I could get along with my classmates if I'm going to be this kind of gentle, meek and mild. Should I wear a tread on me sign? Or should I let somebody stick a poster on the back of my back that says, kick me? I mean, that is just not something that is real inspiring and stirs a lot of interest. On the negative side, this word translated gentleness or meekness means that someone is not prone to anger or violence. Have you ever met somebody and it said of this person, they've got a chip on their shoulder? Someone who is gentle does not have a chip on their shoulder. They don't walk around just waiting, just daring somebody to knock it off. Just looking for an opportunity to vent road rage. That's not a gentle person who exhibits this fruit of the Spirit. Someone who has this fruit is not self-assertive. Now, let me clarify that. A person who is gentle in the Holy Spirit does not project himself or herself into your life without justification. Now, there's some people, you meet them, and before you know it, you've got a lap full of that person. I mean, you're backing up and they're coming forward. They just don't know that you've got your personal space and they're just crowding you. That's not a gentle person. Gentle in the Holy Spirit. Neither are they self-absorbed. In other words, the world does not revolve around someone who displays the fruit of gentleness. It's not about them, as you'll see in a few minutes. It's not me, my, I. It's not about them. All right? Now, if you're still not real impressed with gentleness, just hold on if you would. Jesus is said to be gentle here in Matthew 11:29. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle. Jesus is gentle. Have you ever known any man that was any more of a man's man than Jesus? No, and yet he is said to be gentle. He is also said to be gentle over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. This man of men, son of the living God, was gentle because he was under the control of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is an example of gentleness in the Spirit. Also Moses, and this is kind of astonishing, in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, the Bible says that Moses was the most gentle of all men. Wow. How do you lead several million stiff-necked and rebellious Jewish slaves, hardened by years of hard labor in Egypt? If you're just a mealy mouth, tread on me, anybody want to kick me today? You know, sort of. That was not Moses. He was a leader. And yet, he displayed gentleness. Also, the Bible tells us that the wise are gentle. Gentleness displays wisdom and personal restraint. When a lot of people are losing their cool, the person who's filled with the Holy Spirit will display gentleness. Also, the New Testament says that ministers are supposed to be gentle in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 25. It is becoming of the servants of God that they should be gentle in the Spirit of God. Also in the New Testament, interestingly enough, Christians who are suffering persecution are admonished to be gentle, to display this fruit of the Spirit. Because they are suffering. In other words, they're not supposed to respond in anger. They're not supposed to try to gain vengeance. They're not supposed to take offense that someone is persecuting them, but rather by the power and grace of the Holy Spirit, they're supposed to display gentleness. Now, I'm telling you, somebody who's suffering, to show gentleness, that takes a supernatural grace. Would you agree with that? It would. And then finally, the New Testament says that all believers are to display gentleness. In Colossians 3:12 and also here in Galatians 5, verse 23, it's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Every Christian in all circumstances is to display this spiritual fruit of gentleness. Gentleness will display itself in at least three ways in the life of someone who is filled with and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. See if this is true of you. Gentleness will display itself in submissiveness to authority. Submissiveness to authority. Gentleness comes from strength, not from weakness. You hear that? Gentleness is not out of weakness where you don't have a choice. Gentleness is strength under control. So it is submissive to authority. It's under control. The authority in the life of the believer would be the Lord Jesus Christ, right? The authority in the life of the believer would be the Holy Spirit, who is ruling in our hearts and filling us with His grace. So this word gentleness has the idea of strength under control, not weakness on display. Let me give you an example. This word would be very appropriate of a horse that is captured, and it is a wild stallion. And someone has to break that horse. Not necessarily break his spirit, but to break his will. And in breaking that horse's will, that horse can be ridden, and all of the strength of that horse is brought under the control of the rider. How important that is for a war horse. How important that is in a rodeo. That animal has to be very highly trained, highly skilled, but completely under the authority and the will of the rider, or the horse is worthless. Consider a 120-pound police dog, trained to be a fighter, trained to be vicious if he has to be, but trained to be under the control and the authority of his handler. Every police dog, I am told, has one handler. And that dog is under the handler's authority. Brute force, vicious strength, trained, but under authority. That police dog represents gentleness. That horse that has been broken and under the submission of the will of the rider is gentle. Do you begin to see the point? Gentleness is strength under control, not weakness on display. That's why I want a police officer. That's why I want our nation's warriors to be gentle men, gentle women. I want them to be strength, courage, highly skilled defenders of our lives and liberties, and I want them to be under authority. I want them to be well controlled. I don't want them blowing off. I don't want them being angry just looking for somebody to express their anger and frustration on. I want them under control. When everybody else is in turmoil and a riot's about to take place, I want a police officer who is gentle, who is in control of himself, of herself, and of the situation. So gentleness is submission to authority. Somebody's not submissive to authority is not going to be gentle. Second, it is teachable and has a teachable spirit. Those who are gentle are receptive to correction and or reproof. How do you respond if somebody corrects you? Does it make you angry? Does it tick you off? Is your initial reaction one of turning the tables on them and putting them on the defensive because you're insecure? Not so with someone who's gentle. They can receive criticism. They can receive correction. They can receive even reproof. Let me tell you something else they can receive. insults and offenses. If somebody's got a chip on their shoulder, what are they going to do if they get insulted or offended in any way? Boom! They're going to respond with anger, right? But a gentle person is open to reproof, to instruction, to correction, and even can handle insults. How does a police officer respond when somebody calls him or her a pig? Yeah. Better be gentle. And then third, they have a concern and a consideration for others. Because remember, a gentle person is not self-absorbed. The world's not about them. The world doesn't revolve around them. Gentleness is a concern for the greater needs of others. When a police officer, for example, or one of our nation's warriors, puts themselves between you and me and the bad guys, who is their primary concern? You and me. Do they know you? Not likely. And yet they put their lives in harm's way because they are under authority. Their life is not about them. They are living in the service to our country or into the service of our community. And so, therefore, their concern is for your needs, even at the sacrifice of their own. That is gentleness, strength, under control. Now, I read recently a book by Joseph Ellis entitled His Excellency George Washington. I love that period of history and have read extensively during the revolutionary period in American history. And in Joseph Ellis's book and in any other book you read about George Washington, one of the things you discover about this man is that, number one, the American Revolution could not have taken place had George Washington not existed, or someone exactly like him. Historians are pretty much in agreement. The one essential personality for the American Revolution was George Washington. And some historians believe that there was a second, some distance behind George Washington. Believe it or not, they said it was Benjamin Franklin. Very interesting. But George Washington, heads and shoulders above everybody else, was absolutely essential. And one of the reasons he was an essential personality is that he was gentle. He displayed this character quality of being a gentle man. He stood 6'2". In a generation where I would have been considered taller than average. Yeah. In that day and time, it'd be like putting Jeff Kimes next to me. He just was head and shoulders above everybody else. He was the perfect specimen of manliness. People who describe his physical demeanor say this man absolutely demanded respect. He commanded allegiance and loyalty by his very presence. And that's not urban legend. Do you know, at the Battle of Monmouth, the British had the American troops in a rout, and American troops were fleeing in disarray, and Washington, seeing it from a distance on a hill, rode down in among the American soldiers and by his very presence turned the battle around. And it became a victorious battle for the Americans. By his very presence. Now that is a man's man. And yet I suggest to you, he is a marvelous example as a Christian of a gentleman and an officer, a warrior, a politician, a husband, a businessman. He was submissive to authority. That's one of the reasons that the Continental Congress could entrust to him incredible authority during the Revolutionary War. Do you know when the Revolutionary War was over, in Europe, almost everybody expected George Washington to go ahead and seize power and declare himself the first king of the United States? Yes. And when, after the Revolutionary War was won, when he surrendered his authority, and backed away, retiring from military service, people couldn't believe it. But you see, he was a man under authority. And the more he backed away from authority, the more people wanted to give him authority. They trusted this man because he was a man of integrity and he was a gentle man. He was also humble and had a teachable spirit. Over and over again, Washington wanted to confront the British forces. And over again, John Knox and Nathaniel Greene, neither one of whom had formal military training, appealed to him and corrected him and said, "That's not necessary. That would be the height of foolishness. We need to do what the American Indians have taught us to do, and that's guerrilla warfare. Strike and retreat. Strike and retreat. Strike and retreat." And it took Washington being a very humble man to see the wisdom in what they were saying. The truth of the matter is, the Continental Army didn't have to really whip the British. All they had to do was outlast the British. Sometimes they had to confront. There was no choice. When that was the case, Washington led the forces. But when wisdom said, guerrilla warfare, strike and retreat, inflict the enemy and then back off without suffering many injuries yourself, Washington was teachable. Didn't like it too much, but he was teachable. He was trained in classical warfare when he was a part of the British Army before the Revolution. And Washington was supremely concerned about others. It was never about him. It was his love of his country, his love of his fellow countrymen, his love of liberty. It was never about Washington. That's why he could back away and turn power back to the people, to the Congress. The man was a quintessential example of someone who displayed the fruit of gentleness. I love what Chuck Swindoll said in light of Chuck Swindoll's comments. Think about what we've already discovered about gentleness. Chuck Swindoll says gentleness includes such enviable qualities as having strength under control, being calm and peaceful when surrounded by a heated atmosphere, emitting a soothing effect on those who may be angry, and possessing tact and gracious courtesy that causes others to retain their self-esteem and dignity instead of losing the gentle gain. The gentle gain. Now, could this be a little reason why Jesus says in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:5, the gentle shall inherit the earth? And when he says that, he's talking about the Messianic kingdom when the Savior returns and establishes his kingdom on the earth. He said, it will be the gentle who will inherit my kingdom. Why? Because they are the very best ambassadors for the King. Those who are gentle. By the way, comes to mind, those who are gentle will typically be your peacemakers. And because people trust them, they can seek to be peacemakers. People don't question them that they have some hidden, personal, selfish agenda because it's not about them. They are the peacemakers. And the peacemakers are called the children of God. Are you beginning to understand a little bit about gentleness now? Gentleness is that quality of spirit that seeks to please Jesus. Why does it want to please Jesus? Because it is under the authority of Jesus. I'm not asking for a show of hands. But how many of you have been in a situation, you found yourself in a situation, and you wanted in the depths of your being to respond in a certain way, either in anger or you wanted to respond by telling somebody off. You wanted to respond by hurting somebody, not necessarily physically, though it might have been physical hurt you wanted to put on them. You wanted to react, and there was a little voice in the front of your mind that said, for Christ's sake, don't do it. I had that happen this week in the fitness center. There was a piece of equipment that I wanted to use. Nobody was around it. So I go up and I start adjusting it, and this young man comes and rather rudely says, I'm using that. I'm using this one too. Oh, he's using two pieces of equipment. Now, that's pretty selfish in a fitness center, trying to hog two pieces of equipment. By the way, he wasn't doing this number. He was doing this number, and he was doing this number. So two different exercises. He was rude to an old man. That's a double offense. You need to treat your elders with respect. But he just very rudely said, I'm using that. I'm doing that and I'm doing this over here. And my first reaction was to say, I deserve more respect than this out of this young man. That is totally an appropriate way to react to an adult, to his superior, at least in age. And there was a little voice that said, you don't know if he's saved or not. For Christ's sake, let him have the piece of equipment and back off. I said, okay. So I went and got another piece of equipment. For Christ's sake, that's gentleness. When you make a decision, you're going to do something for Christ's sake, for Jesus' sake, you're displaying gentleness. Now, I'm looking at your faces, and it looks like about 98% of you know exactly what I'm talking about here. All right? So those who are gentle of spirit want to please the Lord Jesus by living as best as it lies within their power to live at peace with other people. Those who are gentle don't like tension. They don't seek agitation. They don't try to react, and they're not looking for ways to react. I do know some angry people. I don't know where their anger comes from, but there's a lot of anger down in there. A lot of them are in street gangs. Some of them go into various professions where they can vent that anger. Professional sports, some of those are very angry people. But those who are gentle want to live at peace with people. Even when they can demand their rights, even when they should or could react to an insult, they choose not to. Strength under control. It's hard when somebody disses you, just let it go by. That's hard. They want to promote harmony among believers. Some of the passages where gentleness shows up, you will also see in the context references to the unity of believers. Harmony within the body of Christ. That's one of the reasons those who are gentle want to live at peace, because they want to promote harmony. In fact, if they see disharmony, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, they are very likely to go interject themselves into that disharmony relationship and try to bring harmony and peace. I've got a dear friend, member of this church, who has the gift of mercy. And when he sees discord, he is drawn into that to try to resolve the discord between believers. But people will let him do it because they know he's a mercy and it's not about him. We need peacemakers, don't we? In the body of Christ? Sure we do. Gentleness is that quality of spirit that seeks to please Jesus by living at peace with other people in order to promote harmony among believers so as not to detract from the gospel ministry. When I heard that voice saying, you don't know whether this guy is saved or lost, he's acting like a lost person. I'm back at the fitness center this week, okay? He wasn't acting like a Spirit-filled Christian. So I immediately should have assumed this guy may be lost. Now, if I react like an old man who's... Anyway, an old man. If I react like an old man and get this piece of equipment, and then later on today he finds out that he and that Baptist preacher had an alteration, what is that going to do if he's a lost person for the cause of Christ? What is that guy's greatest need? To find Jesus. What did I just do? I threw a hurdle, a roadblock, a stumbling block in his path to finding Jesus. Because I refused to be gentle. I wanted to insist upon my rights to have access to that equipment, to put a halt to his rudeness of hogging two pieces of equipment and on and on. And in order because to insist on my right, I just threw a stumbling block that might keep him out of God's kingdom. Now, would it be worth getting that piece of equipment if I have anything to do with that guy going to hell for eternity? No. I'd kiss his feet if that would bring him to Christ. Gentleness. In closing, let me also point this out. Gentleness will confront sin and injustice when necessary to restore godly harmony and to protect the gospel and its ministry. Where do we see this? Well, in John chapter 2, verses 13 and following, Jesus cleansed the temple. Say, well, he wasn't too gentle then, was he? Oh, yes, he was. He never stopped being gentle. But I'll tell you, that whip sure probably hurt. That gentleness just smarted those guys selling the doves and the money changers. But you know, the Bible is very clear that when Jesus goes into the temple precinct, it's the court of the Gentiles where you and I would have been praying. And he goes into the court of the Gentiles, this Savior, not of just the Jews, but of all mankind. And he sees these Jewish merchants who've set up their shops, the money changers, converting foreign currency into shekels so that people could buy the sacrificial animals. All this shop was set up in the court of the Gentiles where you and I would have been trying to pray. You couldn't have found a quiet corner to pray. Jesus was incensed that the house of prayer, the house of God, was indeed a house of merchandising that excluded the Gentiles from giving us a place to worship. The Bible indicates that Jesus very slowly was braiding a whip out of materials at hand. He didn't just grab something and start flaying away at people. He very meticulously started weaving that whip. And he watched. And that gentleness, power and strength under control, saw a terrible injustice against God, against Gentiles like you and me, and the Savior of all mankind, patiently weaved that whip. And he planned out his strategy, and then in the name of the Lord God Almighty, jealousy and righteousness displayed themselves as he cleared the court of the Gentiles. And then the God-fearers had a place to worship. Also, Jesus was gentle when he rebuked the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees and said, "You are whitewashed tombs full of dead man bones." Boy, that's pretty tough. That's gentleness, though. Because there was an ungodliness there that was destroying spiritual harmony and unity within the people of God. And so gentleness addressed that. The Apostle Paul in Galatians 6:1 says, "Those of you who are spiritual, you see a brother or sister who's in sin, he said, I want you to go to them, I want you to reprove them, but do so in a spirit of gentleness. It's not about you, it's about them, it's about their needs. If they react to you, if they insult you, if they oppose you, not about you. let it fly on by. Your purpose is to restore them to the Master. That's what gentleness does. Seeks to restore godly harmony between God and His children when we are in sin. And there are other cases in the Bible where gentleness is on display and it becomes confrontive. So you see, gentleness is not weakness on display. It is strength under control. That warrior is under control until he or she is in the situation where they must bring forth lethal strength. The police officer, under control, highly skilled, highly trained, courageous, and only when it's absolutely necessary and he or she has no other option, they become confrontive and they display whatever force is necessary to deal with the situation. That's gentleness. In closing, gentleness enables us to be servant leaders in our home, in our school, in our place of business, and in the church. Someone who is strong and secure in their relationship with Christ, filled and energized by the Holy Spirit, can be a servant leader. George Washington was a servant leader. It's no weakness in being a servant leader. In fact, that's the leadership model that is being built, and Jesus is the quintessential example of servant leadership. But gentleness enables you and me to be servant leaders. Also, gentleness enables us to turn the other cheek while seeking just, rational, win-win solutions when there's disharmony in the family, disharmony at work, disharmony among friends, disharmony in the church. Gentleness enables us to be peacemakers. Critically important. And finally, gentleness enables us to be more effective evangelists and witnesses to the gospel. Because it's not about us. We're concerned about the lost and their need for eternal salvation. That is critically important. That's paramount. The gentle keep the most important thing the most important thing. And they can only do that because they are gentle in the Spirit. They don't become the issue. They don't become the stumbling block. The gospel is the issue, and the lordship of Christ is the only stumbling block, if there is one, as the gospel is presented. Gentleness. I'd like to be a gentle man. I'd like for you to be gentle men and gentle women in the Spirit, because it's the gentle who will inherit the earth and the kingdom of the Lord Jesus.